Horrorlab Oral presents Lost Hearts by M.R. James.
It was September, as I recall. That was the day Master Elliot arrived here at Aswerby. First time I saw him. All the way from Warwickshire he'd come, poor boy. Both his parents taken from him, and he now an orphan. And all that way on his own. Stephen, they called him. Little Stephen.
Whoa! There it is, Master. Aswerby.
Aswerby?
Indeed, Master.
It stands all alone.
It does, Master. But a right beautiful place it is, isn't it?
It is.
I often wondered what he thought when he first beheld the place. Stuck out in the middle of nowhere. I know I was bowled over when I first saw it, when I came into service here as a young woman. 40 years back or more, that must be. All them windows and pillars, and the two wings spreading out either side with that ornamentation on them. And that great weather vane on the top of the main building swinging in the wind. Hadn't seen anything so grand in all my life.
Here you are, Master.
Thank you.
Welcome, Master Elliot. Welcome to Aswerby.
Mr. Abney?
No, Master, I'm Parks. Mr. Abney's butler.
Butler?
It was clear that all this was new to Stephen. I found out about his parents later. That were well-to-do enough. His father was a vintner. But nothing like Mr. Abney.
Please, come with me, Master.
Gracious, it's so...
I'll fetch Mr. Abney, if you'd like to...
No need. Ah, how are you, my boy? How are you? And how old are you? That is, you're not too much tired, I hope, by your journey. I hope to eat your supper.
No, thank you, sir. I'm well enough.
There's a good lad. And how old are you, my boy?
I'm 12 years old next birthday, sir. 11th of September.
That's well. That's very well. Nearly a year hence, isn't it? I like these things down in my book. Sure it's your 12th birthday, young man? Certain?
Yes, quite, sir.
Well, excellent. I hope you'll be very happy here.
Yes, sir, I shall. And thank you so much for agreeing to let me live here with you.
You are my cousin, dear boy. What else would I do for poor Edwin after what happened? So tragic. Yes, tragic.
It's very grand here, sir.
Is it? Yes, I suppose it is.
What's this, sir?
Ah, this fine marble piece depicts Mithras slaying the bull. Do you know about Mithras, my boy?
No, sir.
A Mesopotamian god, adopted by the Romans. He's the god of fertility and power. Spilling the bull's blood brings life to the land. Impressive, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Well, take him to Mrs. Bunch's room, Parks, and let him have his tea, supper, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
And I shall see you tomorrow, young man.
And that was how I met young Master Elliot. He was such a lovely lad, polite and gentle and so clever. We were great friends within a quarter of an hour.
Quite delicious, Mrs. Bunch. Thank you so much.
And now you'll be having a slice of this rich cake, won't you?
It does look delicious.
Everything in here is delicious.
So, what else is there to see here?
Oh, there's plenty for a young lad like you to occupy yourself with. The grounds is filled with all kinds of water features and trees and follies and the like.
Trees I can climb?
You be careful now, young master. Parks is not so agile these days, and him and me, we certainly couldn't be climbing up no trees should you get stuck.
I shan't get stuck. Don't worry.
Well, there's lots of young lads who've said that before and still got stuck, I'm sure.
Will you show me round?
Of
course I will. It'll be my pleasure. Not now, though. It's getting late, and I'm to show you to your room when you're finished.
Will I see Mr. Abney again, Mrs. Bunch?
Not tonight, Master. He takes to his study after his dinner and is not to be disturbed.
What is he doing there?
Well, it's a study. He studies.
Of course. What else would he do in the study?
Oh my. I'd forgotten how many steps it is up here.
It's a long way up. Must I be so high in the house?
Mr. Abney's room's directly beneath yours. It just feels a long way up, especially when you're my age. Here now. And your bags are already up here. Can you hang your garments yourself, or do you need help?
I'll be fine.
And along here...
a bathroom.
And a bath. Though there's no one here's going to bring you pails of hot water for that, so if you want a bath, you'd best have it down in the kitchen.
Very well.
But this tap works, I think. Cold. Here. Now, there's a bell here if something happens and you need me in the night. But only something important, mind. I can't come toiling all that way up here if you just want a glass of milk.
Don't worry, Mrs. Bunch. I'll come down if I need one.
Very good, Master. Now, if I were you, I'd keep that door of yours shut. We're in the country and things sometimes come in and can give you a right fright if they wake you up.
Things?
Oh, you know, birds and squirrels and the like.
Rats?
No, we don't get rats up here. Well, maybe the odd one.
There were rats in the roof of our house in Addlestone.
Well, I'm sure they did you no harm. Now, say your prayers and sleep. I'll see you in the morning. Good night, young master.
Good night, Mrs. Bunch, and God bless you.
The following day, he was up with the lark, and I took it upon myself to show him around the grounds, through the park and down to the water. He was full of life and full of questions.
Who built that, Mrs. Bunch? That temple at the end of the Laurel Walk?
I don't know, Master. You'll have to ask Mr. Abney. He knows about all those sorts of things.
Can I swim in the lake?
Oh, no, Master. It's very deep and cold, and who knows what's in there?
Well, what is in there?
All sorts of reeds to pull you down. And they say there's mighty big perch fish, too. They can take a big bite out of you.
Have you ever seen one?
I haven't. But I know people who have. Come now. We must go back to the house, or we'll catch our deaths.
Mrs. Bunch, this way.
But, sir, I...
This way, I say.
Oh, sir, I'm most terribly sorry. I didn't think...
I'm not a bit of it. It looks to me as if the two of you were having an adventure. Were you having an adventure, Stephen?
Yes, sir. Mrs. Bunch will show me around.
And were you impressed? Do you think you'll enjoy living here, young Stephen?
Very much, sir.
Delighted, delighted. And now I think Mrs. Bunch must take you out of those soaked clothes and give you a warm bath. We don't want you catching anything.
Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Who is that, sir? On the picture?
Come on now, young master. So many questions.
Not at all, Mrs. Bunch. An inquiring mind. Fine thing, fine thing. To which portrait were you referring, young man?
This one. The man with the scar.
Ah, yes. Well, that is what is called a pastiche. Something based on something else. The original is a fine painting by Franz Hal. Nobody knows who the man was, but the important thing is that in Hal's picture, he holds the skull on his knee, denoting the inevitability of death. Here, you see, the skull rests beside him, his hand atop it, in conquest of death. Interesting, isn't it?
I think so, sir.
You think so? Well... think on, and one day soon, you and I can talk together about it. Now, go with Mrs. Bunch.
Men
My, didn't young Stephen fit in like he'd lived here all his life. All full of energy he was and wonder, like boys of his age should be. Went all round the house he did, looking at all the wonderful things Mr. Abney had bought and all his books. And he'd come and ask me. But what does a woman like me know about Mithras and Orphic poems and the Neo-Plato, oh, whatever they were called? Dear, oh dear.
But why don't you know, Mrs. Bunch?
Because silly old ladies don't know about such things. You'll have to ask Mr. Abney.
But he's always so busy with his work.
That's certainly true, young master. Or out he'd go, young Stephen, walking around those beautiful grounds. The park with all its trees and pavilions and the like, and the lake and the waterfall. Though he did come back with the odd story or two.
Yes! Huh? Who are you? Where are you? Come out, I want to see you.
Boy.
Oh, God. Stop, please. Who are you? Wait, wait. And then she ran into the trees, and when I got there, she was gone.
Well, there's no girls around here that I know of. What does she look like?
I couldn't tell. I was too far away.
Well, maybe it was someone wandered in from the fields, but I've never heard of such a thing before. Now, come on, Master. Mr. Abney's calling for you.
My life's work. It's an endlessly fascinating subject.
But all these books, have you read them all?
Most of them.
Maybe I should be able to read them one day.
Maybe.
And what is that book you are reading now? Neoplatonist. What does that mean?
Well, the Neoplatonists were a 3rd century cult who believed that one could reach a state of perfection in this life rather than, as religious belief would have it, in an afterlife.
So you don't go to heaven?
That's what they believed.
Do you believe that?
Do I believe that? I'm not sure I'm equipped to answer that question. Not yet, at any rate. Now, come on. Another one of Mrs. Bunch's excellent scones, yes?
It is just the weather vane.
Boy.
Boy. Bathroom.
Boy.
Oh, what a frightful dream to have.
She was lying there in the bath, her hands over her heart.
Like one of them statues you see in the church. On a tomb, that's probably where you got the idea from.
It was so clear.
Well, there are no ghosts here, Master. I'll get Parks to come and look at that bathroom, and you make sure you lock your bedroom door. Oh, come now, don't look so glum. Here. And sure enough, he'd forgotten all about it in a few minutes and it were never mentioned again. So the spring turned to summer and Stephen came to see Aswerby Hall in all its glory. The trees were full of green, the gardeners had done a wonderful job with the beds and the flowers made the place look so beautiful. It was like a picture.
Is Mr. Abney a good man and will he go to heaven?
Good? Oh, bless you, young master. He's as kind a soul as ever I heard of. He took you in, didn't he?
Yes.
And you're not the first. There's a little boy he took in off the street, so to say, some 7 years back. And a little girl, a few years after I moved here.
A little girl?
Well, I didn't have too much to do with her, but Mr. Abney brought her back from a walk one day and told Mrs. Ellis, who was the housekeeper before me, to look after her and give her anything she needed. And she was happy. Quiet, but happy. And then one day she was gone. Mr. Abney was right put out, sent out search parties, had the lake dragged, but nothing. It's my belief that she had some gypsy in her and they came and took her, for there was singing round the house that night before she went. Strange singing.
And what about the little boy?
He were a foreigner. Giovanni, he called himself, and he turned up one day, playing his hurdy-gurdy, but filthy he was. And Mr. Abney asked him about himself, and turned out he was an orphan. No parents, nothing. And the same thing happened. He just took himself off one day. Gone. He even left his hurdy-gurdy. Them gypsies and foreigners, they're a funny lot.
No, no.
Boy.
Hello? Who was there?
Boy.
No, the door is locked. You cannot enter.
Master, are you awake?
Yes, yes.
Master Elliot, please, are you awake?
Yes, 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 yes.
It's late, Master Stephen. It's not like you to sleep. Oh, whatever happened here?
What is it?
How do you manage to tear your nightgown all to flinders here? What work you've made for the servants to darn and mend after you.
I don't know.
And here, on the bedroom door, the same scratches.
I'm sure I never had anything to do with making those.
Oh, I'll send Parks up to take a look, though I can't think what made them marks. I would say nothing to Mr. Abney if I was you.
I shan't.
And make sure you lock your door when you go to your bed.
I always do, Mrs. Bunch. As soon as I said my prayers.
Oh, that's a good boy. Always say your prayers and then no one can harm you. Now, you get dressed and come down and have some breakfast.
It was winter time and the winds blew in across from the east with a real chill in them. It was bitter, but the rooms in the house were warm. We didn't see much of Mr. Abney. He was stuck in his library or his study, working away on who knows what. Occasionally he'd ask Stephen to join him, but it was only ever for an hour or so. They'd eat and you'd hear him talking away. They was together one night like that, and I was waiting in the kitchen when Parks came in.
He may get up his own wine if he likes of an evening.
I beg your pardon?
Well, either I do it in the daytime or not at all. I don't know what it may be. Very like it's the rats or the wind got into the cellars, but I hear voices down there.
There's all sorts of noises round the hall. You know that only too well.
I do know that, but I'm telling you this was no ordinary noise like I've heard before.
So it wasn't rats?
It was not rats, Mrs. Bunch. You go down there to that far bin and see if I'm not right. Whispering, I tell you.
Who was whispering?
Oh, I didn't see you there. Master Elliot.
You don't want to listen to any of this nonsense, young master.
Voices in the cellar. I should like to hear them.
It was nothing, Master Elliot. Just the soughing of the wind.
But I should like to see the cellars.
Shouldn't you be sitting with Mr. Abney?
He's waiting for his second bottle of wine. Shall we get it to Parks?
No. The cellar's no place for a boy like you.
Then I shall wait at the top of the stairs while you fetch the bottle.
Very good, Master Elliot.
Down there.
Indeed it is, Master Elliot. Now, you stay here, and I'll go and get Sir's wine.
Parks? Parks? Oh, there you are. Parks, why did you not come up? I cannot see you properly in the shadow. And who is that with you, Parks? Why did you not come up?
Boy!
No!
What the devil? Stephen, my boy, what are you doing?
Master! Oh, young master, whatever's the matter?
Mrs. Bunch, what is happening here? Look at him, he's as white as a sheet.
Master Stephen, what happened?
Two people, two faces, looking up at...
Two people, you say?
Yes.
Your wine, sir?
Oh, Parks, you have given Master Stephen a most terrible fright. He believed you were I'm not quite sure who or what he thought he saw.
It wasn't Parks, sir. There were two of them.
Did you see anyone when you were down there, Parks?
In the cellar? No, sir.
Who were they then, Stephen? Servants? Ne'er-do-wells? Ghosts?
I think, maybe...
Oh, come now, Stephen. There are no ghosts in Asraby Hall. Are there, Mrs. Bunch?
Oh, no, sir. No ghosts here.
Excellent. Now, Stephen, I think it best if we curtail our earlier discussions for now. You go with Mrs. Bunch and she'll make you a warm, restorative drink.
Thank you, sir.
I apologise for the excitement, sir.
Yes, well... Perhaps dark cellars are no place for little boys.
No, sir.
And now, we come to the night when this all came to a head. It was the 20th of March. This was the vernal equinox. The Friday before Holy Week. It was a windy, noisy day which filled the house and gardens with a restless impression. We'd just finished lunch and Stephen was making his way to the door to go out for a walk in the storm. I realised he'd left his muffler behind, so I followed him and then held back out of politeness when I heard Mr. Abney.
Stephen, my boy... Do you think you could come to see me as late as 11 o'clock in my study? I wish to show you something connected with your future life, something it is most important you should know.
Of course, sir. 11 o'clock?
Yes. It is a little late, I know, but it will be worth it. You're not to mention this matter to Mrs. Bunch or anyone else in the household, and you'd better go to your room at the usual time.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wasn't sure what to make of that, but something made me think I'd better keep an eye on Stephen, if he was set to be wandering round the house in the middle of the night, even if it was at Mr. Abney's behest. Later, when it was time for Master Stephen to go to his bed, he came over all keen to get upstairs. This was a bit odd, as he usually liked to stay down as late as possible.
Good night, Mrs. Bunch. I'll see you in the morning.
Would you like me to come up with you?
No, thank you. I'll be fine. And yes, I will say my prayers.
There's a good lad now.
Off he went, and as I was turning to go back to my room, I happened to notice the library door was ajar. I crossed over to make sure everything was in order. It all looked fine, but in front of the fire there stood this ornate brazier thing, all kindled up and ready to be lit as if he was about to cook something. And there next to it was a beautiful silver cup, almost like a chalice, and I could see wine in it. And there was a smell in the room, like incense a bit, but different.
Can I help you, Mrs. Bunch?
Oh! You gave me right fright, sir.
Did I?
Yes, sir. I was just checking everything was in order, sir.
And is it? In order?
It would appear so, sir.
Very good. Then you may go to your room and I'll see you tomorrow morning. And please tell Parks I will not require his services any more tonight.
Oh, yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Good night, Mrs. Bunch.
That was me told. So I went and told Parks what Mr. Abney had said, and I went off to my room to wait until 11 o'clock. Outside, the storm had calmed down, so all was silent. About 10 minutes before the hour, I looked out of the window at the moonlit scene below. There was a faint ground mist, but all was still. And then I thought I could just make out the shapes of two figures. Way off by the main gate. Two small shapes. Side by side. Standing there. Still. Watching the house. Then I heard footsteps on the stairs. Master Stephen was standing there at the top of the stairs, staring. His face white like the time he'd had his turn at the cellar door. Master Stephen! Master Stephen, what are you doing?
Look, it is there. You were in the cellar.
He pointed, and I followed the direction of his gesture. What I saw made my blood freeze. Outside, on the driveway, directly facing the house, were two figures. One was a girl, standing there with her hands crossed in front of her over her heart. And next to her, a boy. His arms raised wide, his fingernails transparent and, oh, so long and sharp in the moonlight. The girl lowered her arms and they both smiled. Such a malevolent smile has made my heart stop. But worse than that...
Look on their chests.
As plain as day it was to see... Where their hearts should have been were two bloody holes torn in their chests.
Look how you smile.
And then a cloud obscured the moon for a few moments and they were gone.
I must go to Mr. Abney.
You must not.
He commanded it.
He may well have, but...
Get back to wherever you come from. You're not real.
Quick!
No! Get back! I'm not afraid of you. Get back!
Mrs. Bunch, we must help him!
Oh, Master Stephen, what is happening?
No! No, you cannot! It cannot be!
Ah! Mr. Abney, sir, we are here!
No! Get away from me! Get away!
What the devil?
Parks, thank God you're here! Mr. Abney is being attacked and we cannot get in!
Stand back. Yes! Oh. Dear God.
It was them. It was them two children as Mr. Abney took in.
Mrs. Bunch, you must not come in here. It is a sight... too terrible for you or Master Elliot to behold.
It was Christmas 8 years later when I next saw Stephen Elliot. He were a young man of 21 by then. He had inherited Aswerby Hall but did not choose to live there. A decision his trustees respected. I remained there, but most of it was locked up. Carolers had just finished their singing and I'd paid them with a few pennies when I saw him, standing a few feet behind them.
Is that you, Master Stephen? Oh, is it really you? Oh, have you grown? Have you come for Christmas? Oh.
But he hadn't. It was only a short visit. He had some important matters he wanted to talk about.
Apart from the pleasure of seeing you again, Mrs. Bunch, I feel you should know the full story of what happened that night all those years ago.
I confess, I think about it quite a bit. I cannot believe that an intruder could do something so wicked and escape without trace.
It was not an intruder, dear Mrs. Bunch. At least not in the way you mean it.
I don't understand.
You remember we saw the two spectres on the drive?
No, sir, I don't. I don't recall any such thing.
Very well. The night Mr. Abney died, and we saw his body.
Could I ever forget, sir?
There were some papers on his desk. I took the liberty of removing them. I should like to read an abridged version of them to you.
Well, I don't think it's right you should be reading those to me, sir. They'd be Mr. Abney's private papers and none of my business.
Nevertheless, I feel it's important you understand what happened that night. If you would be so kind as to listen, would you do this for me?
Very well.
This is what it says. It was a belief very strongly held by the ancients, in whose wisdom in these matters I place great confidence, that by enacting certain processes which to us may have something of
a barbaric complexion, a very remarkable enlightenment of the spiritual faculties in man may be attained. For example, by absorbing the personalities of a certain number of his fellow creatures, an individual may gain a complete ascendancy over those orders of spiritual beings which control the elemental forces of our universe. Various individuals in history, such as Simon Magus and Hermes Trismegistus, have enjoyed extraordinary results by the ingestion of other people. In the latter case, having absorbed the hearts of no less than 3 humans under the age of 21. And to this end, I have dedicated my efforts. It was important to find people who could disappear, as it were, without a trace. The first was Phoebe Stanley, a girl of gypsy extraction, on March the 24th, 1792. The second, a wandering Italian lad, Giovanni Paolo, on March the 23rd, 1805. And the third must be my cousin, Stephen Elliot. The best means of effecting the absorption is to remove the heart from the living subject and reduce it to ashes, and thence mix with a pint of wine and drink. The other mortal remains could be hidden easily. In the girl's case, a disused bathroom, and in the boy's, behind a bin in the wine cellar. I now await with the liveliest satisfaction the enlarged existence this will confer on me, not only placing me beyond the reach of so-called human justice, but eliminating
to a great extent the prospect of death itself. In other words, dear Mrs. Bunch, Mr. Abney was...
I understand what you are saying.
It is not I who am saying it. It is written here in his own hand.
And you believe it to be true?
The best we can believe, dear Mrs. Bunch, is that he was insane. We must, however, search for the remains of Phoebe and Giovanni, so that we may give them a Christian burial.
Oh, those poor children. It was them, wasn't it? What we saw on the drive. Looking in and smiling in that terrible way.
I believe it was.
Oh. It's something I shall never forget.
Mrs. Bunch, you must not come in here. It is a sight too terrible for you or Master Elliot to behold.
No, I must see.
And I.
The room was in a terrible state. Furnishings all thrown around, wine spilt, hot ashes from that brazier smouldering on the carpet. Mr. Abney lay there in his chair, his head thrown back and his left side terribly lacerated, exposing his heart. There was no blood on his hands, and a long knife that lay on the floor beside him was perfectly clean. But it was the expression on his face that is forever with me. Rage.
fright, and mortal pain. And the idea that Master Stephen might have followed those other two. Oh, it doesn't bear thinking about.
In Lost Hearts by M.R. James, Mrs. Bunch was played by Olivia Chappell, Mr. Abney, Richard Hodder, Stephen, Jack Ayres, Parks, Dan March, the coachman, Stuart Packer, the girl, Edie Parker, and young Stephen was played by Henry Chappell. Lost Hearts was adapted by John Paul Chappell. It was recorded remotely and engineered by Jason Reed. Original music by Jason Reed. It was produced by John Paul Chappell and Laurel Parker, and directed by Laurel Parker. Lost Hearts is a Horror Lab oral production.